So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashioned. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. The cut which we have now is much too strong in order not to leave traces.
Tuesday, I forgot to look, December 22nd, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I totally lied. I jammed in a whole bunch of stuff at the last minute, so it's probably going to be as long as normal. So get ready for that. If you didn't know what I'm talking about, I was sharing on Twitter and elsewhere that it's probably going to be a little bit shorter, like I always tend to do, and then eat crow afterwards because I go way too long. But there's a lot to include today that's very important that I had sent myself from a couple days past and so on that I just needed to include today. Now, there's a lot flying around today that's very important, so it's sort of a decision on what to talk about. Derek is working on an article right now about the stimulus package because there's a lot circulating about that. I am going to touch on it today, but just briefly to give you guys an understanding of what's happening, general overview, and hopefully you'll look forward to Derek's article, I believe, tomorrow. But we're going to talk about some of the most important things happening today, one of which is this UK lockdown new strain that we've been kind of focusing on. But Whitney Webb just had a recent article that we put up today that really, it's incredible to find out a few of the things you're going to see here. One that, the fact that Imperial College is even included still to this point in this process blows my mind. Because of, well, I'll get into it when we talk about it at the start. But of course, we're going to talk about the fact that that's unjustified, the fact that the strain seems to be different. We're being told if it's there at all. But of course, that this is not really as dangerous as they're making it out to be. At the very best, it is maybe that way. And yet they went ahead and did everything they did. Forced these things on people, regardless of your rights. Ruined your Christmas. Right, but it's all just in case, right? Of course, we're going to talk about a bunch more. We're going to talk about a PPE story that Vanessa Beale shared that seems to suggest a nurse who somehow got an inside word about what was going to happen in December. We'll dig into that a little bit. We're also going to talk about the PCR test in general, not just the PCR test, but something, another important discussion by the British Medical Journal that yet again calls out some of the most core, some of the foundational points of the mainstream media narrative. And yet nobody will talk about it except independent media. We're also going to talk about vaccines a lot more at the end here and some of the side effects and the immunity passports and all the stuff coming your way. But we're going to start off with a point that I wanted to make in regard to Spiro, who just got removed from Twitter, or at least suspended indefinitely. It's just incredible that this is happening still. And we all need to, you know, it's not new. But we need to be aware of when it's happening, and we need to be able to call it out and point to it and make sure people see what's really happening. And first of all, point out that Ryan made a typo in his hashtag. Dang it, that drives me crazy. Facts are fake news on Twitter, it's supposed to say. It reads, it looks like Spiro was just suspended on Twitter. And he is, he emailed me. He is not sure if he will even get the account back. How can this be acceptable to anyone? His content hinders the fear they are trying to incessantly create. They need that fear. This is why someone like Spiro is being removed. It's very frustrating to see, and hopefully you'll support him in other ways that you can, because this is somebody who, during this COVID scenario, at the very least, has been bringing you the important things you need to be listening to or reviewing for yourself. But I wanted to make sure you were aware of that. Now, of course, on top of that, I want to make sure that you also know, for all those out there who only watch on YouTube, again, if you're on YouTube now, the question is why? Why aren't you somewhere else? But the point is, if you only watch on YouTube and you don't catch the live streams, you may be going, geez, where's Ryan been? He hasn't done a show in a week, except I've done a show at, you know, about the same time frame as I have, 4 or 5 a week. And yet you'll find them on Odyssey. You'll find them on the other platforms like BitChute and Rockfin and so on. Why? Because might as well be Twitter. YouTube is removing them every single time. This video will probably be gone, if not right now, but the moment that I end the stream. So make sure that if you want to watch on YouTube for whatever reason, that you make sure that you're not following us on YouTube, because they will keep you uninformed, misinformed. That's the point. They'll make sure you don't see our content. Now, make sure you subscribe to our website, to our, I mean, whether that's Spear or anybody else, make sure you go to the source, because that's what they want to keep from your view. If you subscribe to the website or our podcast, you're going to get the information no matter what they do. And that's why we've been focusing on that part of it. But that being said, let's jump right into it. This is an important discussion right here. And I'm really glad that Whitney Webb did such a great job on this, because this is, it's just an unreal that we can be in a point where these lockdowns are continuing to happen under this flimsy guise of, well, you know, you're in danger. And that's the only thing that keeps this going. The data's not there. The numbers aren't there. The justification is flimsy at best, but still we're just going, well, just in case, right? Just in case this is serious, we're going to ruin the economy and destroy your job and ruin and increase all kinds of other mortality factors, other kinds of issues, people that already had issues who can't go to the hospital or afraid to go to the hospital. I mean, on and on and on. This is way more damaging, like we've said from the beginning. Meet the solution being worse than the problem. Now, this article for those on podcasts is entitled "Another Flawed Data Model from Imperial College to Blame for Latest UK Lockdown." It's important to understand this is another one, right? Because this Neil Ferguson and Imperial College, that was where the numbers came from that started this whole thing. The whole notorious 3.4% death mortality rate, which we obviously know now is not only just incorrect, but like criminally incorrect. I mean, they're at a point now where if you're under 80, you're pretty much not going to, the odds of you being sick are super slim, let alone dying. It's way, you know, generally speaking, under 50, it's basically zero. Children are zero, according to CDC. this is the numbers they gave us to begin with, that they locked everyone down from or using. And then remember that once that was shown to be very incorrect, and of course, then people started going, wait a minute, look at the funding tracing back to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. What do you know about that? But the point was that they didn't stop once we found out it was fake or just incorrect. They doubled down. And remember why? We just talked about this, because they leaned into the asymptomatic illusion where they said, well, we don't know who might have it, so we have to lock down everybody. First time in history of this country, we locked down healthy people. Not the first time in the history of the human race. I don't know where that's circulating around from. There's been massive controlled lockdowns of different styles, whether virus or otherwise, in history of humanity before. But in this country, never before have we had healthy people quarantined. And they used the illusion of the asymptomatic scenario to do so. Now we're finding out, and we'll touch on it a little bit more today, that the asymptomatic scenario is way, way less. Even according to the CDC, under 20%, and within that, only 50% of them are actually getting, you know, spreading anything. And that's from the CDC, which I don't trust as far as I can throw today. We've seen the massive 9 million person plus study in regard to asymptomatic that found that it was basically non-existent. I don't know why we're not talking about that. The point being, as I rattle on here, is that that was the justification for why we needed to continue the lockdowns, even though the Imperial College studies were shown to be incorrect. But now we know that's also not true. So the question is, how are we here, where not only are all these things wrong, yet we're still in lockdown, but then they lean back into the Imperial College for more models that are already being shown to be false. But if you're in the UK, that's why you're on lockdown right now. That's why you don't have a Christmas, because they, again, listen to this, obviously. Well, I mean, I'm not going to make assumptions. They were wrong before, and that they shouldn't be trusted again. I personally think there's much more going on here. I think that there is more in, there's something driving whoever's the Imperial College entities are, which I'll give you their names in a moment. I just don't see how that could be any other way based on how this went forward. Now, it's according to the BBC. Boris Johnson's assertion that the new variant, now, and remember, for case those might not have seen this in the news, it's everywhere, we're being told there's a new variant of the COVID-19 that is increasing transmission and severity, neither of which you'll find that there seems to be solid evidence for. At the very least, you have certain people saying this may happen, and that quickly became, we're all going to die, this is happening, because that's what the media does. Well, they point at us and say, we're fake news. So that being said, there's supposedly this thing out there. It's not, even main entities are coming out and saying, well, that doesn't seem to be the case. But According to the BBC, Johnson's assertion that the new variant, quote, may be up to 70% more transmissible, was based on the information discussed the day prior by the UK government's new and emerging respiratory virus threats advisory group, or NERVTAG. You'll remember the name because I'm laughing at the idea of this name being NERVTAG in the middle of all the discussions that we're having. But it says, yet, as the BBC notes, this figure apparently comes from a single source. What do you know? A 10-minute presentation delivered by Dr. Eric Voles of Imperial College, given last Friday. So the sole source for this is coming from the group that got it monumentally wrong to start it all off, the same day as the NERVTAG meeting. The idea that we can have something that may be, even according to a source that then on top of that is only one source of a group that you'll find out didn't really even say it that way, but then the media reports it as this is happening. Do you know, we need to see how this whole mechanism works, how things get stated and it gets used how they want to. And all of a sudden it becomes 70% more transmissible, scientists say. But they didn't really say that because they didn't give you the full picture, which is what Whitney does in this article. Now it says Voles, a close colleague of the discredited Neil Ferguson, just delivered the presentation to COVID-19 Genomics UK, COG UK, a research consortium highly funded by the UK government, and guess who? The Wellcome Trust, and in particular, the Wellcome Sanger Institute. Now remember, the Wellcome Trust in particular, someone that stands out, that you've seen the name continuing to pop up in this whole COVID-19 fiasco. But now, first thing that pops into my mind is that you have people that are clearly have an intent, whether it's because you want to believe they want to change the world for the better or how, whatever it is, that you clearly they have an agenda within this whole thing, that they're using it, whether for change and positivity or for profit and mode, you know, whatever you want to call it. You can see that they have a reason to lean into this. So that would be the last person that you would, if they're funding this, that's questionable, in my opinion. Again, at the very least, it's a conflict of interest. But it says the Wellcome Sanger Institute recently came under fire for especially since we're now seeing it turn out not to be true. It recently came under fire for the misusing the DNA of Africans to develop a gene chip without proper legal agreements. Oh, except that's totally fake news if you listen to anybody in the mainstream or Melinda Gates, apparently. There's no such thing. Well, here is a group, the Wellcome Sanger Institute, who's funding the research that was just used to keep you on lockdown. They recently came under fire for misusing the DNA of Africans, of course, to develop a, quote, gene chip without proper legal agreements. And an upcoming Unlimited Hangout report from Whitney will, as she points out, detail the ties of the Wellcome Trust to the UK eugenics movement, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and Oxford AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. Pretty incredible. This whole thing, gene chip without proper legal agreements, is just so on the nose. Literally something that is actually fake news if you talk to anybody, any blue check on Twitter, any of these mainstream, but this is something that we can look up easily in history. And it has clearly been, these are the kind of things that happen in Africa with these philanthropist projects. Now, I shouldn't say that that means all of them all the time, but this is what we've seen in the past, especially from groups like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But it says, notably, the Wellcome Fund scientists behind that vaccine candidate, Adrian Hill, was recently quoted by the Washington Post as saying that, quote, this is, I believe I've heard similar statements in the past, if not this exact one. He says, quote, we're in the bizarre position of wanting COVID to stay, at least for a while or a little while, but cases are declining. Now you could, from a business perspective, you could, the candor, you could even say, well, he's just being honest that from a business perspective, they're making money here. That's fine. But it's not fine when they're involved with decisions that are benefiting them, right? Or the, I mean, any way you look at this, the people that are profiting are also in the decision circle for whether or not they go forward or how they go forward and so on. That's crazy. But that's been the moment this whole thing started, the moment that someone like Moncef Salawi was appointed to the lead, it's laughable. They're the last people you should include, whether conflicts of interest or otherwise. But that's the whole thing top to bottom, as far as I can tell. They want to keep going, but shucks, cases are declining. I'm sure they remedied that with a new strain, apparently. The UK government, I'm being facetious, but you know, the UK government, Google, and other powerful stakeholders are positioned to profit from sales of that particular vaccine candidate. What do you know? But of course, they're such altruistic, you know, righteous do-gooders that we could never assume that they would profit off of something. It's just, you know, I can't even get the sentence out without, it's just ridiculous that people could actually argue that that's not something you should, you know, be upset about, call out, balk at, anything, care about at all. I mean, it's all obvious these people are corrupt. But it says, in comparing with the new strain, and these are, it says, Vols refers to, in the presentation, as N501Y to another strain named A222V. Now, these are the different strains, right? This is the one that they were, whatever COVID-19 from before, and the one that they're saying is more transmissible. Now, it says, Vols states that, quote, we're still basically in the very early stages. We basically have 1 month of growth for comparison. So, first off, it doesn't sound very definitive, right? But it says, whereas we have now observed A222V for 3 months, which is the new one. After noting the limited nature of the data set for the previous one, Vols stated that, quote, the growth in cases for the new strain does appear to be larger, right? This is just a preliminary overview, and this is what got spun out into being we're all going to die. He says, he then quickly adds the caveat that, quote, perfect, trends you see early don't always pan out. You need to let more data accumulate, which, by the way, is the exact opposite of what all of our governments did, right? They didn't wait for more data, and they jumped the gun and said, oh my God, this is way more serious, which, of course, drove the idea that we all need to get vaccinated, but that's just a coincidence, though. It says Vols then goes on to compare the transmissibility of the new one with the older one. Regarding the model used to determine the newer transmissibility, Vols states that, quote, model fit is not, quotes, that model fit is not particularly good in regard to the comparison, given that, quote, there are lots of outliers early on, and then, and there are lots of outliers quite late. He concludes that, quote, we won't expect that a logistical growth model is necessarily appropriate in this case. Oh, you mean the one that they used to put everyone in lockdown? Interesting. However, he uses this, quote, not necessarily appropriate model of a poor fit to compare to the new strain. Again, which my feeling is that why as a scientist, why, if you just said this is not the right, this is not good, or it does not, not necessarily appropriate for this, why would you then go on to use it for that exact purpose? Good question. You can fill in the blanks for yourself. But to me, I would ask whether or not there's something driving that agenda. But he says, Whitney says, even with the model for the new strain's transmissibility, Vols states that it's, quote, too early to tell what the transmissibility is, stating that the 70% figure estimated by the model is based on, quote, the current state of our knowledge, which again is based on 1 month of data and its trends. Trends that Vols also noted, quote, don't always pan out, right? It's absurd. So this is a model that he's saying is too early to tell, and it's only based on our, as he points out, knowledge that's not complete in any regard for any of this. And this is what was used to put you guys on lockdown. Now, again, the point, what I was stressing in the beginning, is they're going to go, well, it's just because we're all in danger, so we don't want to take any chances. But that's not true, right? You can't keep leaning into that based on, even though the data does not show that. I mean, especially if you are not over 60 and don't have much of comorbidities. The point is, the vast majority of the population is totally good to go, and especially if we're comparing it in regard to the flu, right? Because look, you could die from the flu. People get sick from the flu all the time. Sometimes it can be severe. But we all walk through our lives without any concern about it for the most part, right? We don't lock ourselves down. We don't wear masks. We don't social distance, right? So the point is not to say that danger is no longer there, because that's what people say. Well, what about the people that are dying? That is regular. That's a part of your life. Not to suggest that it's not actually more, you know, the point is, the data that we're staring at from them, from the people who are telling us this, does not correlate with what they're stressing at all. Not the death, not the mortality numbers, not a single part of this correlates with the panicky, constant reporting that we're getting from the mainstream media. And now we're saying, here's another example of them using faulty models from a group that was already caught, or rather exposed as just bad science or lying, and pushing you into it again. And we're seeing, as he explains it right here, that this is at best a guess of preliminary information. And it just blows my mind. It says, Voles then adds that the sparse data sets used to develop the transmissibility model for the new strain had some issues. So not only was it an estimation of preliminary data, but the model they used to get that information also had some issues, stating that, quote, the sample frequency is very noisy and overdispersed. But sure, let's completely destroy an entire country because of that. But it says bringing into question not only the limited amount of data in terms of time, but also the quantity of that data. After noting the glaring flaws in both models he's comparing, and that it is too early to tell, his quote, much of anything about it, Voles states that that N501Y is growing faster than the other one ever grew. So, not more, I mean, it's all hypothetical. I mean, realistically, even if he said you're absolutely more dangerous, it's based on a model, which was you know how certain they were about the models that got us here? You know how absolutely they parroted 3.4% like we were all going to die? That was completely false. So even if he was certain here, we should still be like, well, maybe they're wrong again. But nobody's willing to do that, it would seem, at least in the mainstream circles. It says, Voles' presentation last Friday and his preliminary characterization, first published on December 19th, were the main sources of data considered at the NERVTAG meeting. Notably, the study, written for the UK government and Wellcome Trust, funded COG UK, has yet to be peer-reviewed and makes no mention of increased transmissibility or the 70% figure. Anybody care to explain that? What you're seeing is politicians cherry picking something out of a non peer reviewed estimate of preliminary data that had issues in the model and saying, we're just going to assume that means we're all going to die and put everybody on lockdown. I should even stop saying that because I'm being facetious, but they're whatever, saying 70% more transmissible, that it's actually more dangerous. Do you realize how insulting that is? If we even talk about a study that's not peer reviewed, they flip out and say we're conspiracy theorists. But they are now using a non-peer-reviewed hypothetical estimate of numbers that are a model from people that have already been shown to be incorrect. And we're the conspiracy theorists. The point is they wanted this to happen. This is how they wanted to use the data. So they did. Period. Now, here's an interesting part in regard to Ferguson. Now, you may be thinking, well, he's gone, right? He was discredited and he left. And of course, the point is, It's in my mind. I'll jump it. It's in the article, I believe. But remember, this is the story from before. This is from May 5th. Government scientist Neil Ferguson, 51, whose death toll projections sparked lockdowns, were wildly incorrect, quits after admitting he allowed married mistress 38 to break stay-at-home rules. So just like Dr. Birx, just like all these people that are breaking it, just like Nancy Pelosi, just like every single one of the most vocal people like Gavin Newsom, who are screaming and putting you on lockdown, restricting your rights and destroying your livelihood, happily break these things as long as you don't catch them. And then when you catch them, they go, oops, my mistake. I did something wrong. Everybody look at me. I did something wrong, but we're going to keep putting you on lockdown. So nothing happens. No rest, nothing. But you, of course, you'll get arrested. You'll get fined. You'll get any number of societal repercussions, but not these people. It's disgusting to see how all of them, and I mean all of the most vocal people, have been caught breaking this. But then remember, this is Neil Ferguson he set the tone from the very beginning. And he broke it. The guy who set all of this off with these models that arguably were, I think, funded by people who wanted it to be the case, also broke it himself. Now it says, Voles' colleague, Neil Ferguson, he in fact also played a role in this, in promoting the need for more restrictive lockdowns due to this new genetic variant. So the guy who was wildly incorrect, who started this whole thing, is also part in this secondary model used to lock people down again. How is that even allowed? I don't understand. I mean, the people in the UK should be, they already are for the most part. I mean, arguably, people in the United States are the only ones I don't see marching through the streets, which is outrageous to me. I'm going out every damn day talking to people. What we need is people to actually mobilize and go out there and actually stand and say, I'm not talking about any kind of the kind of stuff that we've been seeing, kind of violence. I'm talking about just passive resistance. That's how I believe it. I will never advocate violence unless it's something in response. Like I've said in the past, there are times where violence is justified. When you're being attacked, when you're defending yourself, And I know people don't agree with that. I know that, and that's okay, because we each have to make up our own mind how this goes forward. Some even may find it naive to think that we can do something like this big change without something like... And you know what? Maybe you're right, but I disagree. I believe that violence begets violence, and what we need is a new path, not the same redundant circle where we fight, get a new thing, put it in place, and they slowly become the thing that we just fought against. Every single time that happens, we want something new. Continuing, it says, Ferguson remains part of NervTag and was also part of last Friday's meeting to discuss the new strain. That meeting was said to, quote, have played a pivotal role in changing the prime minister's mind. So Neil Ferguson himself had a pivotal role, the guy who got this all wrong, in making this happen again. And it led to Saturday's announcement that Christmas was effectively canceled for millions. And this gets worse, trust me. However, it says, much like Vol's tone within his presentation, the NervTag meeting did not authoritatively agree on the 70% transmissibility rate. Oh, so the people that were, the actual people in the meeting didn't agree, but it still happened anyway? Yeah. Instead, guess what? A majority of the body's members, a majority, opposed any sort of, quote, immediate action over the new mutation and had wanted to wait for more evidence. That's what the majority of this group that they put together decided. So their own people said, no, there's not enough evidence for this. Why are we doing this? Now, the minutes of the meeting, as cited by the Daily Mail, noted that NervTag had only moderate confidence that the new strain was even more transmissible and had concluded that there was, quote, currently insufficient data to answer crucial questions on the new strain, including its alleged increased transmissibility. So you would think honest people, after hearing that and going through the process where most of your colleagues said no, not enough evidence, you'd think that would mean this wouldn't happen. You'd think this would be stopped and it would be waiting for, you know, more evidence that anything was actually happening. But that's not what happened, as you're all living right now. Now, this is notably, while most NervTag members opposed the sort of immediate action that Johnson announced following their meeting, Ferguson appeared on the BBC the day of the NervTag meeting. You know, this discredited guy who broke his own rules and destroyed everyone's lives with information that was wrong. And he claimed that the UK needed to go into a third lockdown and more restrictive than any previous lockdown, based on insufficient information where everybody else said we shouldn't do anything. Does that not sound like some kind of drive and of an agenda? It does to me, especially since he's involved from the beginning. Now, why would this one person's statement, who's already been shown to be wildly wrong, change everything? That's a question we need to ask. At the end of the day, he won't care because he'll probably just go break it again. All of the people in their elitist circles are not worried about it because they're clearly breaking these things at their leisure. And by the way, have plenty of money to not have to worry about feeding their family. Now, it says Ferguson has become the main source. This discredited man has become the main source for claims that the new variant, quote, has a higher propensity to infect children. Ah, you see where this is going. So now, oh, it's changed. And now all the things that made it difficult for us to sell you on the idea that it was dangerous. Well, now this one fits all those things. So now it's more dangerous, more transmissible, and it hurts children. So now take the vaccine. Right? None of these things have been verified, by the way. This is statements by people that are guessing based on models that seem to be ineffective. It says, though he has also stated that, quote, we haven't established any sort of causality on that, but we can see it in the data. Oh, okay. So this guy who was wildly incorrect is saying that we can see it hurting children, but we haven't established any sort of causality. Just be afraid, basically. However, he also notes that, quote, we will need to gather more data to actually determine if children are more easily infected. So you start off by saying, we can see that they're being more affected, but we need to gather the data that shows that they're being more affected. Anybody? Anybody wondering how these people are even still being respected right now? Because the whole system is working with it. Now, it says Wendy Barclay also repeated the unproven claim that the new variant increasingly infects children, stating that, quote, children are, perhaps, equally susceptible to the virus as adults. Oh, good, perhaps. I mean, so you don't know is the right answer? So you might be the case? Anything might be the case. They thought a lot of things were the case. These very same people from the Imperial College thought we were all going to die, and they were wrong. So let's just trust that their assumption based on flawed information just might be correct. This is a COVID clown world. It's incredible. It says, despite Ferguson's admission that there is no actual evidence to back up that claim... But the media is happy to parrot it. Mainstream headlines in the UK said UK coronavariant may be more able to infect children. Scientists. That is the level of mainstream media today. Why? Because their narrative is to drive the fear. There's nothing to back that up. There's no data they can review. This is a statement from someone who's already been shown to be discredited, to be wrong, to have violated his own statements. And they're just blindly regurgitating that with no citations. How embarrassing. But they don't care. It says, and others implied the statement was based on more than just speculation from incomplete biased data sets. So again, that's what the media does. They say scientists, as if that sells everything. And then they broadly just kind of insinuate throughout the whole thing that it's not just, as she puts it, speculation from incomplete biased data sets. The overhyped concern about children being reportedly more susceptible to the new variant could be used to justify increased vaccination of that demographic, exactly, which has been shown to be largely unaffected by previous COVID-19 strains relative to the other age groups. Isn't that interesting? Now, of course, this all ends up going in the direction of, you know, suppressing independent discussion. And it says, even drawing criticism from mainstream media sources like ABC News. Those two things didn't seem congruent. They're not. The point is that this is going after attacking independent media. But the point is that even ABC News is even calling this out. Like, they're saying that it's actually quite crazy to see that we have mainstream saying that this does not seem to be what they say it is. Now, it says the UK government is reportedly now, quote, monitoring social media for conspiracy theorists after government surveillance of social media reactions following Saturday's press conference revealed that, quote, many are unconcerned by the new variant, with some being more skeptical and noting the concurrence of a new variant with approval of a vaccine was suspicious timing. So, make sure you understand what they just said there. The government, who was already monitoring all your social media posts, right? That's what they just made clear to you. Because they were already surveilling all your social media, they discovered that there was people that were already feeling this way. That's crazy. Remember when that was a conspiracy theory? Remember when that was, you're so crazy, that never happens, how dare you suggest such a thing? Openly happening right now. And by the way, not just because of COVID. That's been happening a long time. And by the way, that also means that Twitter, Google, YouTube, Facebook, they all allow that. Media reports on the UK government's monitoring for misinformation, which basically just means me stepping out here and saying, look, the data's flawed. Ooh, to censor him. He doesn't know anything. Monitoring for misinformation regarding the new strain stated that the conspiracies come despite the UK's new and emerging respiratory virus threats advisory group at NERVTAG outlining the potential severity of the new variant. Can you believe that statement? So they're going, look, these people are spreading things even though we told them that's not what's happening, right? So their conspiracies, which are basically just saying, look, this is not true, it's inaccurate. And they're going, how dare they do that? Didn't they hear us tell them that's not true? Right? Like, really? Like, you think just we're going to blind? I mean, it's just either the lack of self-awareness or I don't know what that is, but it made me laugh. It says, per this narrative, outlets like ABC News and even the majority of NERVTAG, remember the members who voted not to do this, they would be considered conspiracy theorists. Think about how crazy that is. This is the same idea as calling anybody who even discusses anything about the Israeli government crimes anti-Semitic, despite the fact that there's massive groups of Jewish people and Palestinians saying that they're doing those things, both of which are Semites. So it's ridiculous. Well, technically only Palestinians, but we're not going to get into that today. The argument is that they're saying they're Semites. So it's, if we have an entire group of Jewish people who are calling out the crimes of Israel's government, are they anti-Semitic? No, it's only about the crimes of Israel's government. And it's the point. And that's what they're doing here. It's all about manipulating your perception. Now, I would argue that ABC News are ridiculous, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that these are groups that wouldn't be normally called this, but because they're going so broad with this agenda that they're even sweeping up people within their own group. It says the narrative surrounding the new strain and the affiliated lockdowns provide a clear example of how easily, quote, expert opinion can be manipulated to support a particular policy in the absence of any legitimate justification. Now, I didn't realize you were looking at me the whole time there. I guess it doesn't really matter since, it was all writing anyway. So I'm basically just reading through this for you guys to hear. But so you guys, I wish I would have been showing it. Just for some reason, it makes me seem more legitimate when you're looking at the information. But understand, as I was actually going to go back to me, but anyway, the point, just this is something that we need to understand in this regard, this very important concept, the idea that expert opinion whatever that means to them, can be manipulated to support a particular policy. And we have to consider not only how that's happened in this country over and over and over, but we have seen it in this scenario with COVID-19, right? That's what's important to understand, is that they're using that. The idea of these expert opinions and people that they control. And in this case, not even saying what they're saying that they're saying, just basically saying, here's a hypothetical discussion about something that we're still very early at looking at. And people like Boris Johnson and other entities just rush to get it out because it suits their agenda. It allows them more control, more fear, more control. And this is what this whole thing has been set because of COVID. People are now abusing this in any situation they can. And largely, by and large, I mean governments. Now here, by the way, is also the WHO, who themselves are saying, quote, the UK has reported that this new variant transmits more easily, but there is no evidence so far that it is more likely to cause severe disease or mortality. So I just find it, remember that whole point about not challenging the WHO? Well, now it's a bit confusing when they're contradicting each other, but you know, whatever. The idea that this is enough to lock everyone down in the UK, cancel Christmas, and pretty much violate everyone's rights based on a hypothetical assessment of preliminary information that was flawed to begin with. That we can be staring at this and have the WHO saying themselves that's not true, but yet it can happen anyway, is unbelievable to me. It just shows you that we're so far off the rails that it's really just government. We're in an authoritarian state. It's government mandate. You don't have any choice. There's no parliament. There's no Congress. Governments tell you what's going on because danger, because fear. That is exactly what has happened in every single authoritarian state in the past. Every one of them. It's always justified by some kind of for a greater good scenario. And here we are. No evidence mutant virus strain more deadly, but of course, we're going to push it in your face anyway. Now, while you're on lockdown, don't worry. They got you. You're all safe because they have Hawk Fighter jet enforcing a no-fly zone, no drive zone along an A40 in Whitechapel, London. Cool. So we've got military jets now patrolling highways because of lockdowns. Yeah, but we're not in martial law, though. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're just on a temporary flatten the curve scenario. Guys, wake up. If you're in the UK, we all need, I mean, you're probably more aware than I think a lot of Americans are, but realize where we are. We've been in martial law for a long time now, and all they did was just slowly roll it out so people didn't notice what was happening. It's incredible. But, you know, don't worry, though, because Bill Gates says it's going to drag on all the way into 2022, this non-scientist, non-doctor, non-medical professional civilian, who's arguably not even that intelligent when it comes to other things based on history and discussions of people who work with him. But just listen to him in regard to the entire world scenario. Everybody's future depends on this person because everyone seems to be listening and driving what he's saying. Bill Gates warns COVID lockdowns could drag. Why is he warning anything? How does he know anything? He, if anything, is basing this on estimates of other people because he's not a scientist, not a doctor. Why is he continuing to be pushed in our faces? You have to ask that question. Well, he's a philanthropist and he's trying to find. What does that even mean? He's not, by the way, in my opinion, because these things are wildly benefiting him. But regardless, even if you believe he's doing good, how do you think? Why does he get to tell us what might drag on and warn what might happen? Just really think about that for a minute. But and, of course, restaurants will be closed for the next 6 months, according to Bill Gates. These seem very arbitrary, but specific in regard to his statements. 6 months in 2022. And by the way, it usually tends to go what he says. It's happened every other time before this. He'll float something, a number, and it ends up being what everyone parrots. Again, we need to think about that. Now, in Germany, there's an anti-lockdown group that's already been put under surveillance. Why? Because you want to protest against unconstitutional actions? Of course, we're going to surveil you then. Because your government doesn't care about you. Your government, whether Germany, Israel, or the UK, or anywhere, they don't care about you. They care about their agenda. If they cared about your rights and your ability to protest, they wouldn't surveil people who are protesting what's happening. I mean, think about it this way. Why are they surveilling the group? If the idea that you're protesting lockdown is putting people in danger, and the idea is that that's why you're doing it, because you're risking COVID, why don't they just stop it or arrest them? Now, I'm not arguing either of those things are the right thing or should happen or justified. It's not. All of this is wrong. But my point is, why surveil them and hypothetically allow it to spread? See what I'm saying? That's within their narrative. They're surveilling them because there's much more happening here. because that's really what it's all about, is just generally becoming okay with living in the technocratic surveillance biosecurity state. But don't worry, though, because at least in California, your strip clubs are still totally exempt. But, you know, your business and churches and everything, that's totally off limits because COVID danger. But strip clubs where people are touching and grinding and sweating, it's all good, though. You have any questions about why it doesn't make sense? Go talk to, you do any number of 1,000 things that you shouldn't be doing. This is absurd. And if, again, the point is that every single section of this whole COVID illusion is insulting. It's as if they want us to be upset. And I think to some degree they do. I mean, how can Fauci come out and say, or the UK, say we're shutting down Christmas, don't go see your family. Like they want, this is incredible to me. There is no justification for why this should be exempt, but other businesses are not. Unbelievable. But as I said before, somebody like Burks, who's been stressing this the whole time, happily violates her own guidelines. Quote, Burks neglected to follow her own guidelines as she traveled to her beach home in Fenwick Island in Delaware. Oh, that must have been nice. While we're all struggling to feed our families and can barely do, you know, yeah, it must have been really pleasant for you. A day after Thanksgiving, according to AP. You know, when they streamed at us, we couldn't have Thanksgiving and couldn't see our families. How many times must this happen from the most vocal among them before we see what's happening? Really? How many times? Why is it okay they can just go, like, they tripped and accidentally broke them? Guys, it was a conscious decision. She consciously decided to violate the something that she's been, the whole world is abiding by because of her. Or rather, just this country. That either means that she does not believe it or does not agree with it. In any sense, or any case, why then should she be stressing that you do it? Well, because it's one rule for them and another for you. And until you can realize that, which, by the way, is basically them versus us, not Republican, Democrat, but all of them, government versus us, until you can realize that, this will continue. Now, this is a really sad video that I almost didn't want to play this, but I had to, because we need to understand how sickening this is. This is in the UK. This is a woman who is trying to see her mother. Now, I warn you, this is really upsetting. This is what's going on in this. I'll read you Patrick's comment. He says, some of these people working in healthcare, quote, healthcare, sick care, are some of the most cold, heartless control freaks in society. Watch them relish in the power gifted by COVID and the pandemic. They need to be held accountable.
Well, right. Well, can I tell you for the record that her color is very poor. You know, she's quite blue around the lips, and her breathing is quite fast, and that's, to me, that is a cause for concern.
Well, like I say, we've not had any concerns with her.
Well, I know, but you never do have concerns for her. You know, with respect, you don't. You know, I understand you're doing your best, but, you know, I can see that my mother is not well just by looking at her through the window.
Well, all I can suggest is that you ring up on Monday morning.
Well, what do you mean I ring up on Monday morning? That's two whole days away.
Well, like I say, I'm not the manager.
So you're not the manager, but I mean, I'm reporting. Hang on a minute, just a minute before you go. Hang on a minute. Don't take her away. Hey, don't take her away.
Tina.
Don't. Don't take her away, you bastards! You absolute bastards! Oh, God.
I can't ever watch that again. This is what's going on, guys. There's no reason that that's justified. There's no reason that that is allowable. I don't care what in the world is happening. The idea that that they would just walk away from her. Why? Because, oh, it's your weekend and you don't want to deal with it. You want to just deal with it on Monday. This human life, this person that you're supposed to be taking care of. It's disgusting to me. And you know what? This is exactly why the most deaths are happening in these places. Remember that we had almost 50% of them in the beginning coming from three locations, to most of which were nursing homes. This is horrifying to me. I just can't understand how humanity can allow this. That it's all because COVID, right? Like this is protecting her. Except that we already know that that's where she is the most the at-risk place on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. There is nowhere on this earth that is more dangerous for people right now than being in a nursing home in the United States. That's how I feel. Every single, the vast majority of these illnesses, the issues are coming from these homes. And you know why? Because there's people like that, that are given power because of COVID-19 authoritarian mandates that allow them to just tell you to go do, just tell me on Monday. Their job is to do what that person is paying them to take care of her mother. And yet they're not accountable to her. Why? Because of your government and COVID-19. Makes me sick. But of course, remember that, you know, Russia bad guy, right? We need to stop Putin from locking up all these people, right? You know, because Russia, all these lockdown people in Russia or China, all these bad places where all the bad guys are, right? Well, ask yourself, as he says, this is no masks, no social distancing. Why aren't they dropping dead in St. Petersburg? It's an Xmas fair. I believe this part two is a nightclub. Count the number of masks worn. You only need one hand. So we need to ask ourselves if this is happening in places like Sweden and St. Petersburg, where they're out collecting, not social distancing, not wearing masks, why aren't they all dying? Why isn't there a massive spread? How can you possibly argue that we need to do this, especially when you know that Russia, just like the United States, arguably, so we're told, already had a spread? So the point would be that if they did and they're okay now, it would either be because they have antibodies or because it was never actually there. In any sense, so would us, the same thing would be happening here. But not when you've got control freak, megalomaniac type authoritarian control, the Trumps and Bidens and politicians of the world who are putting you in this position. That's why this is happening. I just don't understand how we can claim that this is the world's biggest pandemic and everyone's going to die if we don't do all these things and new strains and everything's getting worse while we have places like Sweden and places like this that we can literally see that they're not. I mean, they haven't even tried to explain that. Where's the WHO? Where's the CDC? Where's your government? Why aren't they going, well, here's why St. Petersburg is not what you think it is. Here's why Sweden is actually much more damaged. Or why not just, how about just it's all fake? Oh, it's all fake and they're lying to you. Whoops. The same way they do about, you know, China or whatever else. Oh, they're lying to you because China's a bad guy. There's no rationale, guys. Here's another one. It says part three. It says no masks, no distancing. Why aren't they dropping dead? It's been months like this now. So don't come back with give it 2 weeks. St. Petersburg. Street dancing. Anybody? If you're in the UK, if you're in the United States, if you're anywhere right now where your government is aggressively telling you that you're going to die unless you do what they say, ask yourself how this is possible. Because we're told it was already there. We're told it is there. We're told that there are still cases that it is happening, and yet this is what we're seeing. And this is what we're seeing. This is being allowed because nobody wants to stand up and have the gumption, the Constitution, to just say no. This is wrong and we know it's wrong. Or on the other side of that, you got people who don't care whether it's wrong and they're in some kind of political side and just go along with what their side says because they see a political benefit in it. And they're okay with people like this being hurt and harmed and killed, essentially, because it benefits their political side. That's what the two-party illusion does to people in this country. But let's go to the next point, which is the idea of asymptomatic transmission, or actually specifically the PCR point in this article. But I want to read through these parts for you. Even the points, and this is the British Medical Journal, and even the points in here about the asymptomatic, in my opinion, undercuts the argument that they're making. But I want to remember before, right off the bat, there's this huge study with over 9 million people where they found that there was basically zero asymptomatic cases. I already just talked about this in a previous show. So keeping that in mind, this says the UK's 100 billion euro Operation Moonshot to roll out mass testing for COVID-19 to cities and universities around the country raises two key questions. How infectious are people who test positive but have no symptoms? And what is their contribution to transmission of live virus? Now, first of all, realize with this massive rollout of testing correlated exactly with the spike in cases and problems. Of course, well, they're going to say, well, it's because we saw it all. But ask yourself this, if they hadn't, like the argument is these people were tested and told they had it, and that was cited, right? You don't need to tell someone who's collapsing and dying that they have COVID. Like, that's the point. Is them all these, the idea that continues to rattle on your mind is, you know, the virus that's so dangerous, you have to be tested and told that you have it. The testing is what caused the spike, which caused the reaction. And then you can find sick people anywhere. You'll find, you know, 50 to 100,000 people who die every year from pneumonia, from flu, from all kinds of different things. And those will look just like what they're telling you this does. We also have bacterial pneumonia that's spreading like crazy, that is contagious, that's being caused by masks and plenty of other things, as doctors have already attested to. That is also being claimed to be this. Then you've got people that have antibodies from something that they've already had, as well as the cold and previous things in the past, which they've already said this test can toss positive for. So if we just continue to roll the test around, you're going to continue to get more numbers. Eventually, we're probably going to do the math and find out that we have been told that 400 million people have COVID in this country. Wait a minute, aren't there only 300 million people here? Yeah, who cares? You know, we're going to get to a point to where we're just continuing to roll it around, and they're going to say, oh, it's because you can catch it again. Who cares about evidence? These are all my opinions, but clearly we can see the correlation with testing and the increase in cases. That's a no-brainer. But it says, unusually in disease management, that's important, unusually in disease management, a positive test in this case results in the sole criterion for a COVID-19 case. That's not normal. So yet again, we have another thing they're doing that's never been done before, and it seems to benefit in their favor. Why would they do it now if it's never been shown to, but it's never been done before? It says normally a test is a support for clinical diagnosis, not a substitute. This lack of clinical oversight means we know very little about the proportions of people with positive results who are truly asymptomatic, right? Why would we not want to know the full number? I remember because they're using the nebulous concept of it to drive in the fear and every other point of it. Without the concern for asymptomatic, this whole thing goes away. It says throughout the course of their infection and the proportions who are subclinical, pre-symptomatic, go on to develop symptoms later or post-infection. Now, it says the earlier estimates that 80% of infections are asymptomatic. Of course, gee, I wonder why they overshot it by such an outstanding number, because they wanted you to be concerned. That was why and how they justified locking healthy people down. But guess what? It turned out to be incredibly incorrect. Sort of like the positivity percentages coming from all the testing areas. Remember all that? And nobody talks about that anymore. How basically every one of these testing areas was 90% positivity, meaning like that 90% of people they tested end up being sick. And it came back later that they were all lying because there was profit motives and benefits of doing so, and it was about 3-4 to maybe 10%. Why is nobody talking about that anymore? Oh, that's right, because it shows you that this whole thing is based on deceptions and fraud and manipulation. It's so painful how many times in this whole process we've seen them caught lying about things, and yet we're still here. It says earlier estimates that 80% of infections are asymptomatic were too high. Oh, you don't say. And have been revised down to, and this is according to the CDC and other studies, 17 and 20% of people with infections. That's it. Now that, I argue, is also way too high, especially when you factor in the study I just told you about with over 9 million people that basically found no asymptomatic cases. But then it goes on to say around 49%, so half of that 17 to 20%, of people initially defined as asymptomatic go on to develop symptoms. So half of those people are arguably never go on to actually be able to infect anybody. Right? Because the idea is not that you're asymptomatic forever, that you just never show symptoms but are always able to spread it. Right? This is an illusion they built around this whole thing. Yes, there are asymptomatic cases, but the point is in most cases it means that you're not showing yet, and then you eventually get symptoms. Now it says, quote, it's, or not quote, but it says, it's clear. It's also unclear to what extent people with no symptoms transmit SARS-CoV-2, right? So there's another assumption on top of a gigantic assumption that they that this many people have it, and then that they can also spread it. Unclear whether that can even happen. But don't worry, we destroy your life just in case. It says the only test for live virus is viral culture. Very important what they say here. The British Medical Journal, the only test for live virus is viral culture. PCR, which is what everyone is using right now, with a way too high threshold, even though we already know that's way too high because even Fauci said so, but they're still doing it as of right now. Why would that be? Guaranteeing massively high false positives. Why would they want that? But it says PCR and lateral flow test do not distinguish live virus. We've been saying this from the very beginning because John Rappaport's been saying it for a long time. No test of infection or infectiousness is currently available for routine use. Let me repeat that again. This is the British Medical Journal telling you right now, in the middle of all of this, even though they're using PCR to tell you you're in danger and hype everything up and put people on lockdown, the BMJ is saying point blank, no test of infection or infectiousness is currently available. So we don't even know if you're infectious or you're able to spread it according to any test because they're only using, other than viral culture, which is what we've been saying. Think about how incredible that is. And nobody will report this in the mainstream media. Nobody will change their narrative. They'll continue to argue that PCR test is the gold standard and unimpeachable, even though it's incredible, even though they themselves and the CDC will state 30% false positives on their website. Like that's acceptable. It's way higher than that, but 30% is a joke. That's a guarantee to have a massively inflated number. And then you add in all the, adding pneumonia and influenza in with the numbers and the mortality numbers, which is right on their website. So you're basically potentially tripling it, or, I would argue probably tripling it. I mean, it led easily 100,000 deaths based on previous years of just pneumonia and flu. And that's being added. And that's not inflating the numbers. But it says, as things stand, a person who tests positive with any kind of test may or may not have an active infection with live virus and may or may not be infectious. Right now, the BMJ says that. As it stands, as we speak, that if you have a positive test with any kind of test, you may or may not be active or even infectious unless you get a live viral culture, which nobody's doing. Again, as I've said from the very beginning, you could argue this is fine because we want to err on the side of caution. And that is fine. But you cannot lock people down, destroy their livelihood, and force healthy people into quarantine based on your erring on the side of caution assumption. But they're doing that. The relations between viral load, viral shedding, infection, infectiousness, and duration of infectiousness are not well understood. That's great. I'm glad we're locking everybody down based on the not understood concept. In a recent systematic review, no study was able to culture live virus from symptomatic participants after the 9th day of illness. 9 days, despite persistently high viral loads in quantitative PCR diagnostic tests, meaning that they're testing you with a PCR test, getting persistently high viral loads, which would then mean that according to the PCR, you're sick and have COVID-19, except they're telling you that you're not transmissible. Meaning that it's a guarantee, as we already know, the PCR test is telling people that they're sick when they're not actually able to spread the virus. And that is why they're using it. However, cycle threshold values from PCR tests are not direct measures of viral load and are subject to error. Yeah, that totally fake news story that's very easily verified by the facts, right there in front of you, it's being stated by the BMJ. The presence of RNA does not necessarily represent transmissible live virus. It's just incredible, guys. It's incredible. I mean, it's almost unreal that we can be one of the sole sources of actual genuine information in a world that is just overrun with fake information while they point at us and say we're fake news. It's a badge of honor. Like I find it increasingly entertaining and sort of like pride, fills me with pride that they continue to point at us as increasingly more people in the chat. Even right now as we're still, anyway, they're just going to point out the numbers in general, the people that are still on Facebook, on YouTube, like over 500, 600 people. It's getting through. People are seeing this. It's quite embarrassing, I would argue, for these people, but they've already set their bet and they're going to keep pushing. Now, the next part I want to talk about is this stimulus bill. And I'm just going to kind of run over a few points here because, as I said, Derek's going to be talking about this. But I just wanted you to understand what we're really pointing at here, right? So we're talking about a stimulus bill that's supposed to be for you, protection, paycheck protection programs, which actually amount to just giving money with no strings attached to big companies, because they, as we know, they don't have any verbiage in there about how they're supposed to use it, which basically means they don't give it to you. That's what we just saw from the last $6 trillion. None of it went, by and large, it went to them and they didn't actually dole it down to employees. They kept it, they've laid people off, and they made sure they were good, just like in 2008. And you know what? Your government knew that would happen. And that's why they didn't put it in there that they had to give it to you. Because they want you dependent on the government. That's what's happening right now. But so realize with this stimulus package, there was, I would argue there was far more in this that was nothing to do with COVID-19. Military funding, Space Force funding, money for Israel. None of this stuff has anything to do with helping you. Money to the Sudan, money to the Ukraine. None of these things have anything to do with helping you, but they're telling you that's happening. And of course, they just toss on a $600 check and tell you that's significant. This needs to, this one thing, whether you agree with COVID or masks or not, needs to shake people free of the propaganda. You need to see right now that whatever, here's what's so frustrating about this whole thing. It's all of it. Yet nonetheless, because people are still trapped in the two-party illusion, you got the Republicans pointing at the Democrats and saying, oh, it's the Democrats. That's why we only got $600. That's why this happened. Republicans were fighting and they wouldn't do it. The other side, same thing. It's because the Republicans didn't care and they would only, the Democrats got you only what they could and blah, blah, blah. It's your government. As long as you keep pointing to one side or the other, it's going to keep happening. Why can't you see that? Until you realize that both of them are involved and all of them are together and then your government is why you just got screwed, then if we can finally see that, we can actually change something. It's just this whole thing is a little unnerving to see how flagrant this was, right? Like while we're dealing with this, while people are actually waiting in bread lines, and I'm not just saying this in hyperbolic fashion, people literally can't feed their families right now because they had jobs and they're nothing. They don't have a job. They don't have any income. People are struggling. And only a small portion of people have their unemployment scenario coming through. And even that is what, like $300? It's nothing. It's nothing. But of course, remember, before we even get into the stimulus package, I wanted to make sure I remembered this. I just talked about this. So this is before the stimulus package. $4 billion in U.S. taxpayer money to Israel. That's $11 million every day. Imagine what $11 million just by itself could do for the small business in this country. All of them. But that's just one day. Every day, $11 million are flying over to Israel for their government as they continue to commit war crimes and atrocities and violate international law and so on and so on. All good, right? But not a single penny for millions of Americans who were forced out of work. Now, this is on the 20th, remember? So they were already giving $4 billion to Israel before they even, while they were still quibbling about $600 for you. Then we jump forward to the actual bill. Here's just a couple of highlights. Remember, Derek Brose is going to come out with an article tomorrow, so make sure you check out that. But the new COVID relief bill contains another $500 million for Israel. Cool. The legislative package also contains $2 billion for Air Force missile procurement and related expenses. Right, because that's protecting you from COVID, right? $4 billion for Navy weapons procurement. Of course, right? Because the Navy's fighting off COVID-19. $2 billion for Space Force. There's COVID in space. Of course there is, right? It's all about fighting COVID. Just put your head down and trust what your government says. It's a COVID stimulus plan to save you. So we're going to save you by making the Space Force. We're going to save you from COVID by spending $4 billion on the Navy, but that we don't need, by the way. None of this stuff do we need for the military. It says it should be noted that this is all part of a consolidated appropriations package. COVID relief was tied into the containing resolution. They lied to you, guys. But these figures are still useful to see what our government's priorities are. Exactly. Exactly. It just, the whole Israel aspect of this really needs to show you the truth. Military agendas and whatever the agenda is between the Israeli government and the U.S. government is hands down, beyond a shadow of a doubt, more important than you. They know that because they think you need them. So they just don't care. Well, as Derek also points out, by the way, a great article by Derek, which I should probably grab really quickly if this doesn't freeze on me. Oh, crap, it's going to freeze. But a great article by Derek who wrote about this way back when this first happened in regard to the WHO and Gavi. That everybody flipped out about. There was this whole issue about people saying, it's not real. We all should see it's real by now, Derek is incredibly vindicated in that regard, even though I wouldn't argue he was even challenged. It was so clear he was correct, but people who supported Trump just didn't want to see the truth. But on top of that, on top of the over $2 billion that went to Gavi after Trump said he removed himself from the WHO, which by the way, is not going to happen, I would argue now, because Biden's probably just going to go back and do his thing anyway. But I just want to look this up really quickly so I can include it for you guys, because I will forget after the fact. Many of you have probably already seen this, but it is a great article talking about what I call the bait and switch. As millions pulled from WHO, Trump gives billions to Gates-founded Gavi. Now, remember, the issue was that the U.S. aid gave that money to Gavi. No, you guys are lying. It wasn't Trump. Except that if you just read past the first couple paragraphs, you also find out that not only did U.S. aid give that money to Gavi, but Trump's administration at two separate points gave them a combination of over $2 billion on top of the other, whatever, $500 million, whatever it was. Right? So over $2 billion went from Trump's administration from multiple points to Gavi. Which, by the way, already should be crazy because his whole support base doesn't think that the vaccine and Bill Gates, the whole thing, it's all a 4D chess move. Clearly not. But then that money through them went to Gates and then went to the WHO because they were the second, before the U.S., or after the U.S., was the second leading investor before they moved away. So it was a bait and switch. It was a shell game. They continued to fund the WHO. Right? That's just think about how incredibly apparent that is. So when we're talking about Derek's post here, remember, this is the second time. As he says, quote, as part of the $900 billion coronavirus relief deal, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer touted, quote, an additional $3.36 billion for a total of $4 billion for Gavi. $4 billion for Gavi on top of that, what has already been given. And this is from both sides, guys, Republican, Democrat. It's from your government. That's the point. $900 billion that's supposed to be relief for coronavirus, right? What it should be is a relief from your government actions that have destroyed your life. But the point is none of that's going to you. Think about over almost $1 trillion that's supposed to be relief and you're getting a $600 check. It's not a relief from anything other than the need to spend more money on military. Unbelievable. I can't understand why people can't see through this. Off Guardian points out the $4 billion right here, the picture of it anyway, right in the document. $4 billion to remain available shall be made available as a contribution to the Gavi Alliance. Right, because Gavi's going to prepare for and respond to coronavirus. No, they're going to work on vaccines. That's the point. But again, the reality is of everything else that they did, you get a $600 check. If that, right? Because you won't, by the way. Not everyone's going to get it. Understand, as I pointed out before, my family, as well as plenty of other people I spoke to who made well under $100,000 a year, did not get their stimulus check. Nobody seemed to care. Nobody reached out. No response. Nothing. My buddy had his own small business. He tried repeatedly to get money paycheck protection or, you know, whatever, one of these small business, and he just could not get a response. But we know of numerous massive big businesses that did get money from them and didn't even give it to employees. But don't worry, though, because you're going to possibly get one $600 check. Oh, here's Nancy Pelosi, who wants you to know that $600, though, is significant for you, right? Because it's for you, because you're a poor person. So it's significant for you, though. Good. Thank you for letting us know, Nancy Pelosi, what we think is significant.
We also have in the legislation direct payments, which were not in the Republican bill, to America's working families. I would like them been bigger, but they are significant, and they will be going out soon.
Cool. Significant. It's good. Right? What I saw many people say about this on Twitter and different places is, $600 is what rich people think poor people think is a lot of money. We have to see how ridiculous this is. As many people are pointing out, as they're telling you it's significant, $600 does not even cover the median rent of low-income areas. It's just staggering. But here, this is somebody else pointing out to Trump, I guess they still believe he's on their side. Please say no to this stimulus bill, which, by the way, he is claiming he's going to veto it, but he said that before any of this. So it had nothing to do with no money for you or any of the other things about Israel. It had to do with the fact that he says it's a great bill for China, which doesn't even make sense to me. That is a ploy to get people to agree with what he's saying about it, in my opinion. I don't even think he's read it if you think this is a great bill for China, because it's not. But the point is, he's only talking about Section 230, and that's all he wants in there. Now, that's what he's saying anyway, despite the fact that removing that is only going to increase censorship, which is just so easy to see if you just think it through, because these entities without that liability are going to continue to censor anything they can because they're going to say, well, now I'm liable. So now I'm not going to let that go out. I'm going to censor it immediately. The point is, what we needed was less government involvement, right? That's what we needed, not more. But he's claiming on that note he's going to veto the whole thing. But remember, there's a two-thirds majority in the House and the Senate, and it's not hard for them to basically how this is going to happen is he's going to veto it, and then they're just going to gather and they're going to vote, and they already have a two-thirds majority, so it's going to be a veto buster, and it's going to continue. But I'm interested to see how that goes forward, because Trump's not one to follow the rules when he doesn't want something. You know, we'll see how it plays out. But the argument, I mean, I hope this gets vetoed. I mean, end of the day, because this is disgusting. This money should go to Americans. But here's what it says, just in case you forgot about how much money's going to who. He says, why are these countries getting our money? What's wrong with Congress? I mean, guys, look at this. Do you know how much this could help Americans? $453 million for Ukraine. How is that a COVID? Why? Because we need to help the Ukraine fight COVID-19? Why is that Americans' taxpayers' responsibility? $130,265,000 for Nepal, $700 million for the Sudan, $500 million for Israel on top of the $4 billion that we just gave them. How in the world can anybody understand this? $600 for you. It really should turn your stomach that your government is clearly and even financially with their vote showing you that they don't care about you, that you are the least important thing on their agenda. Now, BitChute also pointed out that there are actually things in here that are involved with live streaming. It says the recently unveiled COVID-19 stimulus bill contains a series of measures that not only have nothing to do with the coronavirus, but could lead to prison time and huge fines for creators and providers of video sharing services that are accused of copyright infringement. You see where this is going. My opinion, this is more so tailored at new platforms. Interestingly enough, like the one that I'm currently working on. So interesting that this is very obvious. Like this is, I would argue, primarily aimed at making sure YouTube maintains its dominance. But on top of that, you can clearly see how this could be aimed at people, individuals, just like me. And ask yourself again, how does this fight coronavirus? Of course, because in their mind, fighting off the misinformation is most paramount. Of course, that just means keeping you in the dark from the truth. But it says U.S. Congress passed COVID-19 stimulus bill that would make illegal streaming a felony, right? So what's illegal is the obvious question, right? Well, whatever they want it to be. Because remember, these things never end up really being what they say in the beginning. Remember when the Patriot Act was when they first sold it? Look at what it is now. It's a carte blanche to do whatever you want in the world, it seems, and violate your rights and lock you up indefinitely and any number of things. But it started out as a going after terrorists and keeping you safe. Interesting how that spun around and now you're the terrorist and they're keeping themselves safe. That funny how that worked out? Well, same thing here. As it says, this aims to increase the penalty for operating a for-profit illegal streaming service. Again, it comes down to what they deem is illegal. And what they're talking about illegal is anybody who is using, and they say knowingly, copyrighted material, which can happen accidentally. Remember the new bills they've already tried to pass? What if we talk about things like using mainstream media content to make a point, playing their clip and making commentary, which is called fair use? You can see how this could start to get bent into being, well, that's our material, so you can't use that. You can't share the image of the Washington Post because that's our material. We already talked about this with past rules in regard to the internet, where they were talking, remember the meme rule from the UK, I believe, where they're talking about anything. If you have an image in there that somebody owns, they could legally sue you based on like a Coca-Cola can in the background of your camera. They've been trying to do this for a long time. Now it says the bill proposes, by the way, this passed. The bill proposes criminal penalties for operators of commercial sites, such as, you know, that would be like a YouTube or like something that I'm working on, who, quote, willfully and for purposes of commercial advantage or private financial gain, right? So these all seem like very objective things. How would you know their intentions? Offer to provide to the public a digital transmission of service of unauthorized media. That's the point right there. So what they deem to be unauthorized and what they deem to be willful, right? So if they decide it's clear you did it intentionally, they could literally take down an entire platform and then put you in jail. They want people to be afraid to do what YouTube is doing. It says those penalties include fines and prison sentences of up to 3 years or five, quote, if the person knew or should have known that the work was being prepared for commercial public service performance. Ah, so now it's even a hypothetical. Now it's an objective on your state of mind, or not even state of mind, whether. So in their opinion, if they believe, well, he clearly should have known. Well, there you go. Now it doesn't even matter. You could be completely ignorant about what's going on around you. But if they decide that you should have known and maybe you're just not smart enough to see it, well, too, it doesn't matter. You're still going to jail. They've made this in a way that will be easy to bend however they want this to go. Tomorrow I do a video and they argue I should have known that that video was not allowed, even though it was clearly not stated. And there you go. Channels down, 10 years in prison. It says this will not apply to individuals, they say, who access pirated streams or unwittingly stream unauthorized copies of copyrighted work. Okay, so there, once it becomes knowingly, wittingly, well, then you can be arrested as an individual. That's how that reads to me. It says people who might use pirate stream services will not be affected. So people who pay for them, which doesn't make sense. Seeing as how you're paying for an illegal service, why would the individual not be affected? Because it's not about that. It says the shift towards streaming content online has resulted in criminal streaming services illegally distributing copyrighted material that cost the U.S. economy of nearly $30 billion. They don't care about this, right? We talked about this, a story like this a while back in regard to China having access to exactly these kind of copyrighted boxes, which gives them access to American information. Very clearly. Not only did people flip out about how we were talking about copyrighted material and entirely miss the point, but nobody seemed to care in this country that China had access to your data based on these copyrighted boxes that were being sold in places like Best Buy and Staples. Right? But the point is they don't care because they allow this stuff to happen. So the point is this is being used to go after you under the guise of going after them. Pretty sneaky. Nothing new for the government. But at the end of the day, this is one more thing that violates your rights and removes the life you thought you had under the guise of COVID-19. Let it keep going. Here's Ace AOC saying, this is why Congress needs time to actually read this package before voting on it. Members of Congress have not read this bill. It's over 5,000 pages, arrived at 2 p.m. today, and we were told to expect a vote in 2 hours. This isn't governance, it's hostage taking. Now, before everybody loses their mind because everyone's so politically invested right now in one side of the two-party illusion, it doesn't mean anything. Who cares who said it, right? It doesn't matter. The point is the statement is correct. That happens every time, and I talk about it every time. They're not supposed to understand these things. Their job is not to read and vote based on what the bill says. Their job is, as even Tulsi Gabbard admitted in an interview, is to do what the party says. And we're believing these people are voting based on their conscience and what their constituents want. They're told the day they get in office that they have to toe the line, that they can't work with the other side, and that they have to do what their party wants. So when you get a bill that's 5,000 pages 2 hours before you vote, are we really pretending like you're supposed to understand what's in it? That's why somebody in some position who made this happen is... I mean, think about the idea that there is, at some level, a person putting this together who's in conjunction with some kind of higher power, some kind of unelected power structure that is putting these things in place, because look at all the things that flew through here. I argue most of Congress are just a bunch of morons that don't know what's going on. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. But at the end of the day, you can see that they're just mindlessly voting on what their party tells them to. As Ms. Seema points out at the right here, the bill also contains money for Israel, $2 billion for Air Force, for Navy, $2 billion Space Force, all things we talked about. It's disgusting. But just understand that these people don't even care enough to read it. Otherwise, there'd be more people speaking out to say, I didn't get a chance to read it. I will not vote on something I didn't get to read. And do you really think that any of these people are going to take the time to read 5,000 pages? They don't care. Thomas Massey points out the House has a rule to give everyone 72 hours to read the bills. Every Democrat in the House, and this is what I argue most people don't know, voted to suspend that rule. And that's why we're voting on it, a 55,100 plus page bill tonight with less than 8 hours to read it. Right. So understand that as especially for the Democrat supporters out there who are saying that it's only the Republicans' fault. Explain why every Democrat in the House voted to suspend the rule that would give them the ability to read the actual bill, because it wasn't about the bill. It was about the agenda. Passing it because there's plenty of things in there that they didn't want these people to know. They didn't want these people to understand, because, you know, there are some people in here that might speak up. And to finish off the, of course, maybe you didn't hear this part, but everyone in Congress getting a $100,000 bonus for coming up with such a great relief bill. Perfect, right? Well, of course, it's not actually true, the Babylon Bee, but let me ask you a question. If that really happened, would you really be that surprised? With everything that's happened so far, with all the extra money, the $500 billion, the millions of dollars going to foreign countries and Israel and Space Force and the Air Force and the military, none of which has to do with COVID-19 and your $600 check. I mean, as I'm understanding it, we're seeing discussions about, you know, different planes and all kinds of things. And there's all kinds of stuff that happened within this that has nothing to do with COVID-19. And if they actually just gave themselves a $100,000 bonus, would you really be that shocked? It's just, it's crazy. And the Babylon Bee has become like the most honest. It seems like they nail this stuff because they're really just sarcastically pointing to what's happening today, as opposed to making, you know, what they used to do is just these crazy leaping hypothetical things that kind of tied in with what was happening. But now it just seems like they're just kind of satirically pointing out the truth in a really serious current way, right? That's great. It just shows you how ridiculous we are right now. And finally, don't forget that they also included, remember, they're telling you this is about stimulus, right? It's about helping you and everybody else get past this COVID issue. But no, clearly not, because they spent $22 billion that's available all the way until 2022, specifically for expenses, testing, tracing, and surveillance. Right, because testing, tracing, and surveillance is about helping you get past this. About your stimulus for your small business? No, it's about tracking you. It's about tracing you. It's about testing you. It's about controlling you, including, quote, molecular antigen and serology tests, the manufacturing, procurement, and distribution of the tests, right? These tests that have already been shown to be wildly false positive and incorrect. That's directly from the FDA. I don't know if it might pop up first. Let's see. Yep, look at that. What do you know? Just so happens to be right there. Potential for false positive results with antigen tests. And this, what's interesting about this is that numerous mainstream articles even called this out and said that they just rushed this out and did not have any. They're clear when you read this, there's a pretty high potential for false positives. It really is just crazy that we can be in a point where this is so readily apparent and even the official sources are telling you that and we still quibble about it. But if they're giving $22 billion to this, it's because they. Again, just this one part, just $22 billion could literally save the economy and rescue the vast majority of these small businesses. But no, they spent it on tracking you because that's what's most important. I really hope this got through to some people because it just could not be more clear. Now, moving on to the next point, and this is one that I think is really important. This is something that Vanessa Bailey recently shared. And this has specifically to do with foreknowledge. Now, not just, I mean, foreknowledge, but within something that has clearly become a very lucrative part of this whole fiasco. And that is personal protective equipment, something that most Americans didn't even think about before this, at least in regard. PPE is now a household concept as before it was. And this is, think about that. There's a reason for that. Because we're in the biosecurity state now. But this former nurse, and again, just to show you, thanks to Vanessa Bailey, sharing this. If you don't follow her work, I recommend that you do. She actually just shared something that I was waiting to dig into, but I'll just comment on it. Her and I had an interview. I interviewed her about some research she'd done on EMPs and this hypothetical idea of how that could play in with what's going on here and how she's getting inside word about how they think something might be happening soon and so on. Turns out she just found out that there's a planned EMP simulation in 2021. What do you know? I'm sure Vanessa and I will regroup and do another discussion on this if and when something happens, but just understand that she's doing great work and really, really diving into things that they won't even talk about. So make sure you check out her work. But again, thank you for sharing this, Vanessa. This is an interesting story. 1 year ago, December 2019, this nurse claims that she got a tip-off that a deadly virus was spreading from China. Now, let's think about that for a minute. In December 2019, arguably, nobody was supposed to know this was happening, seeing as how we were told January, right? And remember before that, Trump just can't stop saying they didn't let us know. They didn't let us know. We didn't know. They hid this from us. China kept it from us, right? So if clearly that's his stance. So if that's the case, that means that nobody else should know before January. Especially if the president was just kept out of the know. But we know how dumb that is, because if Americans knew about this in January, so did Donald Trump. So it's just really dumb to pretend that's not the case. But that's because they wanted to blame China and say they allowed this. So it's China bad guy. They did it. Kung flu and the whole nonsense, right? I'm not saying it can't come from China. The point is that we don't know where it came from. And in fact, all the evidence we're seeing now shows that there's examples in about 11 other countries before December 2019. So these are all reported from countries: Spain, France, Italy, Taiwan, Japan, all of them. Canada, I've talked about all of these. And most of them are talking like mid-2019, where they have verified examples of COVID-19. Why does nobody talk about that? Why do we continue to claim January in China, even though we have verified stats from governments that are going along with the narrative? Doesn't that seem confusing? Guys, it's so clear that there's a narrative they're holding on to here. But back to the point, former nurse struck it big with 1.8 billion euro contract in PPE gold rush. It says a year ago, says Sarah Stout, she received a tip-off that a deadly virus was spreading from China. Now, again, back to the point. So if they don't know this, or Trump says he didn't know, Americans didn't know, how did this woman know, and where did she get a tip-off from? Now, add to that the idea that we're now finding out quite clearly that this was circulating in a lot of places before China. So why did she get told specifically that it was spreading from China? You want my opinion? It's probably why you're here. I feel it's because she was given that information for a specific reason from somebody who knew what the agenda was going to be. Whether that's because this was intentional or accidentally got out or however it was going on, the clear point is that they ended up knowing they were going to blame China. And I think that mostly makes sense because it's something that they did and wanted to blame them, or accidentally let out and still wanted to blame them. But in any case, that's still up in the air because we're still trying to find answers. But at the end of the day, with that narrative, it makes sense that somebody reached out and told her this. Why? Who knows? But how can somebody know it's going to happen before it happened? Before anybody knew it was happening? I guess it's just one of those quirky coincidences, huh? It says the former nurse, who co-owns Full Support Healthcare with her husband, got to work calling factories abroad. She sensed an opportunity. What she could not have predicted. Now understand this too. While she's calling factories abroad and making these moves, what did she talk about? What did she say? Somebody else out there might have gotten wind of something as well. It says what she could not have predicted was its immense scale. The Stouts employed 25 people at their company on the outskirts of the North Hampshire market town of Wellingborough and sold personal protective equipment to the NHS and private hospitals in England. It posted a profit of almost €1 million in the last year. So again, guys, when we're talking about the idea of foreknowledge, when we're talking about, like, let's say the artificial intelligence plan that was built before all of this, which is, I guess, more of a just applying an agenda from before to now, but more specifically like the BlackRock bailout plan for COVID-19 that was specifically for COVID-19, but you find out they wrote that plan before COVID-19. Could have just been something they reapplied. Who knows? But there's 100 different examples like this where we can see foreknowledge. Examples of people coming to the discussion. I mean, it's an endless list of examples of governments knowingly ignoring information that showed what was going on before this, just like they're talking about now where they're ignoring incidents, information showing that it started or is in existence in places before it came to China. It's a willful ignorance of the facts. The whole story is like this. But it's just one more example of somebody somehow having inside knowledge, sort of like we heard in, you know, the 9/11 discussion and on and on and on. But we're all crazy conspiracy theorists. But let's move on to the vaccine discussion, because this is also very, very important. And this is something that I find to be more and more relevant as we continue to see the way this is affecting the population. And again, it's why I think that they're going to aggressively pivot into a few different agendas here. One being that these side effects are, in fact, just more COVID stuff, which I think is kind of what's happening with UK. Whether it's another strain or whatever it is, I think we're seeing a lot of stuff happen because of what's going on over there that are just being lumped into COVID-19 like everything else. But we also have to consider the idea that these vaccines themselves that are creating all of these side effects are, I mean, there's a part of this that you could argue could be planned, right? I mean, whether it's the vaccine, whether it's the side effects, we've seen the examples of numerous times in the past where the UK, the United States, have knowingly pushed vaccines in examples where it wasn't justified, like H1N1, like 1976 swine flu, I mean, anthrax. All these times we've seen that they went along with this. So we're going to show you an example here about the side of specifically another person that goes along with the agenda, someone who's on their side, as it were, saying that he won't do this. I find that to be a little telling. Tell me what you think. Bolsonaro.
A vacina, uma vez certificada pela Anvisa, vai ser extensiva a todos que queiram tomá-la. Eu não vou tomar. Alguns falam que estou dando um péssimo exemplo. Ô, imbecil! O idiota que está dizendo, dando um péssimo exemplo, eu já tive o vírus. Eu já tenho anticorpos. Para que tomar vacina de novo? E outra coisa que tem que ficar bem claro aqui, doutora Raíza. Lá, na Pfizer, está bem claro lá no contrato, nós não nos responsabilizamos por qualquer efeito colateral. Se você virar um chip, virar um jacaré, é problema de você, pô. Não vou falar outro bicho, que eu vou pensar aqui, falar besteira aqui, né? Se você virar super-homem, se nascer barba e alguma mulher aí, ou algum homem começar a falar fino, eles não têm nada a ver com isso. O que é pior? Mexer no sistema imunológico das pessoas? Como é que você pode obrigar alguém a tomar uma vacina que não se completou a terceira fase, ainda está na experimental?
Senhoras e senhores, está em...
It's just crazy that we're staring at the dictator authoritarian government in Brazil, and he's saying, how can we force you to do this? And our government's right down that path. Realize what our government actually is, guys. And it's what he's saying right there is important. That it hasn't been properly tested. The idea that they can, that we're being told that we're, or at the very least, aggressively pressured to take this thing, and knowing that they do not take responsibility for the side effects. How can we? No, I mean, there are pregnant women taking this thing and posting about it online because they think it's the right thing to do. That is so horrifying. We don't know what's going on here. And the establishment is allowing these people to virtue signal in a way that could kill their child. And that's literally what the documentation says. It's just horrifying. But here we are in this country where people are screaming at people who don't mindlessly follow what their government says, despite the evidence. Here's Matt Agra saying, fact checkers, quote, the vaccine is safe. Questioning the vaccine is dangerous to those who do it. And those who do it are conspiracy nuts. And he says, and here's the vaccine, right? These are mainstream outlets. Suburban Hospital temporarily pauses vaccinations out of an abundance of caution. COVID-19 vaccine side effects prompt advocate Condell Medical Center to temporarily pause vaccinations. Fairbanks clinic clinician in Third Alaskan is adverse reaction to COVID-19 vaccine. CDC confirms 6 people have suffered adverse reactions to COVID-19. Chicago area hospital pauses vaccinations after 4 workers experience adverse reactions. Roughly 5 adverse reactions to COVID. I mean, on and on and on. And that's aside from the fact that they're already telling you there's going to be severe effects and just do it anyway. But again, they're fact checkers. It's all safe and there's no issue. But if you're saying anything is dangerous, it's because you're a conspiracy theorist. That is crazy where we are right now. And as Derek points out, here's what CNN is saying. Experts know more about the coronavirus vaccines than any other in history. Now, that's either true and so incredibly horrifying, meaning that they know more about this experimental thing they rushed out in 6 months than any of the other things that they've been pushing into your arm for decades. Or, as Derek is pointing out, and I agree, they're completely lying to you because this is an experimental thing they've never succeeded in doing and they only just now got it. But yeah, let's pretend like they know everything and more so than what, decades and decades of vaccines they've been using? Really? They are desperate to get you to believe that this is the best thing since sliced bread, and that should be alarming in and of itself. It's an absolute lie, he says. They're trying hard to convince you it's safe. For those who are inclined to take the vaccines, Moderna specifically, tell me when was the first time an mRNA vaccine was used on human beings that we know publicly. That's right. It was December 2020. Oh, and just on a side point, as we're sitting here pointing to the CDC and CNN and mainstream media making claims about things that they're aggressively stating are absolute fact and shouting anybody down when you question it, we should probably understand that hydroxychloroquine has been an FDA-approved drug for over 65 years. It has been on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines since the list began in 1977. But sure, listen to them. They tell you it's unsure and unsafe and untested and on and on and on. Now, I'm not saying this should be what you take. I'm just simply saying that you have a right to understand the informed consent and to choose what you want for your body because it's your body. We got to this point now where it's like not your choice because you're not a doctor. That's crazy. It's always been your choice. They're lying you into a technocratic biosecurity state as we speak and hiding things from you that they, for whatever reason, want to manipulate about. And this is one of the focal points of this discussion. And how in the world can it be unsafe if it's been FDA approved for 65 years and on the WHO list of essential medicines since it started? But because it became a partisan point, anybody who was a Democrat thought this was the worst thing ever. Anybody who was a Republican thought it was the best thing in the world. None of those are true. There's probably all kinds of negative things because it's a big pharma drug. But on top of that, it's shown to have its uses, and we should have been allowed to think about that. But not in the world of COVID. As Alex Berenson points out, and this is the most important part about the side effects, as of Friday afternoon, the CDC has already learned of 3,150 people who'd received the vaccine who had already and had already been, quote, unable to perform normal daily activities, unable to work, or required care from doctor or healthcare professional. Excuse me. I wanted to open this, but don't let it freeze on me here. Oh, this is right. So this is the one I was going to show next, actually. But think about how many, and this, we already told you about this in the beginning, and they were telling you this. You'd be bedridden potentially for days. Because that's totally normal, right? He says that figure supposedly represents about 1.5% of the 215,000 vaccine recipients. Not really, though. I think he meant vaccinations increased exponentially last week. On Friday alone, 127,000 people were vaccinated. Unless people had reported adverse events immediately, the denominator is far lower than 215,000. He says, if the lag is one day, almost 4% of the first 88% or 88,000 recipients have had serious adverse events after the first shot of the Pfizer vaccine, the first one. And he said, and this is what their own documentation points out, Moderna vaccine is worse, and the second shot is much worse. Also of note, hospitalizations of physicians' care are included here, but not broken out separately. They should be. They're gaming the numbers, guys, is the point. But ask yourself why the media is not reporting the very large amount of side effects. Like, look, even if it's the exact amount they predicted, they should be reporting that to you. The reason they're not is because, as they've stated, the truth is causing vaccine hesitancy. And you being hesitant to vaccines is more, stopping that is more important to them than giving you the truth, which should, for once and for all, remove the illusion that they're here to give you the truth. They're here to maybe tell you the truth if it suits their agenda. And in every other case, give you whatever they're told to give you. It just cannot be any more clear. The side effects are going to continue, by the way. And remember, oh, and there's one of the other points that I forgot to say is that the other, basically, we're going to see a few things coming in that I think are the agendas. And the other one I didn't mention was, as I continue to point out, is they're going to blame a foreign country for sabotaging the vaccines. Like, if it really gets bad and they're just half the country is dealing with side effects, it's going to be blamed on somebody else because that's always what happens. That's my opinion. I'm not psychic. I'm just saying it's clear that that's something they've done before. And I think it's an obvious lean because they're already saying, look, Iran, and they're going to sabotage vaccine infrastructure and blah, blah, blah. They're already been floating these ideas, just like they floated exactly what went down in the election, right? As they literally told you what was going to happen and then it exactly happened. But yeah, like they literally told you what was going to happen for COVID-19, and then it's exactly what happened. How many times are they going to predict what happens and we're going to just pretend like they were theorizing? Are we that naive? The election came, I mean, everything they literally brought the election with Trump and the whole refusing, everything. It's just so pathetic how we cannot see that they're gaming us in every way. But in the vaccine, here, this is the point, is they're telling you you're crazy if you think there's anything wrong. Here are staff at hospitals. You know, those anti-science, anti-medicine hospital staff in DC, Texas, they turned down COVID-19 vaccines. Multiple locations. I read that funny. But so we have multiple locations where staff at hospitals with, you know, medical degrees or nursing degrees, however you want to look at it, are turning down this vaccine. But the media will only tell you that it's a bunch of anti-science conspiracy theorists that are doing that. It's not true, though. More than half of this country is actively saying we don't want this, including doctors, scientists, anything, because they're not stupid. That's why. FDA investigates allergic reactions to Pfizer vaccine reported in multiple states. Yeah, where is the, of course, this is The Hill, so it's mainstream. But when I say the media, I'm talking about Fox and CNN. The vast majority of the people that still watch mainstream, what they do is watch the mainstream channels. The FDA is investigating allergic reactions in multiple states, but we're crazy for saying this thing might be dangerous. Here's the document that a lot of people are talking about. And the anaphylaxis part, remember the NHS, I believe there's multiple people that had anaphylactic shock and all. This is saying on December 18th, right? Days ago, they had already identified 6 cases of anaphylaxis following the vaccine. That's after there were other cases of 1 or 2 of them from actual employees that they claimed weren't connected to the vaccine. But here we are staring at 6 more cases from the vaccine. But we're all crazy though, right? This is incredible. This is from the CD itself. Interim clinical considerations for use of mRNA COVID-19 vaccines currently authorized in the United States. This is, check out what this thing has to say. There's actually a lot of good information in here. Excuse me while I take a drink. There's a lot of good information in here. But I want to highlight just some of the important parts that will probably make you stand up out of your chair. Co-administration with other vaccines. This blew my mind. Before I even read this, we need to understand that right now, the vast majority of these vaccines are not tested along with one another, even though there's plenty of them that they give together, right? So just remember that. Right now, most of them are not actually tested with each other in your body. So they don't know how they react with each other, which has been a huge issue of people like Del Bigtree and, you know, they'd be calling this out and they act like they're conspiracy theorists. Listen to what this says. Given the lack of data on the safety and efficacy of mRNA COVID-19 vaccines administered simultaneously with other vaccines, the vaccine series should be administered alone. Oh, so I guess the first time in history that matters, right? So this one is a problem, but we're not going to test for any other vaccines that are, but we're going to pump them full of children when they're born with multiple that cry, you know, but we don't care. But this one though, this one matters. So you see, this is what happens when you lie about everything, right? They were screaming down people saying this about vaccines in general before we got here. But now here they are admitting that they've been lying about that all this time. Why? Because right now selling this agenda is paramount. More important than being caught for lies from before that they'll really just tell you you're crazy for pointing out and saying, no, you misunderstand. You're not a science person, right? That's the seemingly the sidestep for any claim today. You don't know what you're talking about. Trust the white coats. If they're not going to do it simultaneously because they're concerned with it, not because they know, but because simply haven't tested for it. That applies to every other logic of any other vaccine. They have not tested for the simultaneous use of the other ones, and yet they are happy to give you those ones. Just unbelievable. But it says if mRNA COVID-19 vaccines are inadvertently administered within 14 days of one other vaccine, doses do not need to be repeated for either vaccine. So I'll let you guys think this is an odd sentence. Here's how I took it. If mRNA COVID-19 vaccines are inadvertently administered within 14 days of another vaccine. So you get a vaccine for whatever, you know, for chickenpox. And then suddenly you forget and you get a COVID vaccine 10 days later. Doses do not need to be repeated for either. So does that mean because you got it along with a chickenpox vaccine or too close that you don't need to get your second dose of COVID-19 vaccine? Or does it just mean that you don't need to do those same ones again for the fear that they might not work because they're together? I'm not sure. Thought that was odd. But it goes on to say booster doses. The need for and timing of booster doses, which I'm confused about, for mRNA COVID-19 vaccines has not been established. Booster doses? Does that mean that you need to go back in after your second shot for a little boost to get just a little bit more COVID-19 vaccine? That doesn't make sense at all with the way this is described. If it's making a protein in your body that then eventually goes away, why would you need a booster? Anybody? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. But let's keep going. Viral testing to assess for acute SARS-CoV-2 infection or serological testing to assess for prior infection solely for the purposes of vaccine decision-making is not recommended. Okay, so let me explain what that says right there. It says that they are not recommending that you test to see if you have antibodies. Viral testing to assess infection, to assess for prior infection, which would mean antibodies, solely for the purposes of vaccine decision-making. So they don't recommend you finding out whether or not you already have antibodies before you go get your vaccine. Why? Well, because if you had antibodies, well, you wouldn't need the vaccine. So they don't recommend that because they want you to get the vaccine. Isn't that very honest and hard? You know, think about, that's what it says right there. If you had a prior infection, the logic would be that you have antibodies. Why wouldn't you want to test to make sure that that's the case first? All these things are clear to me. Every one of these things err on the side of you need to get the vaccine. Even though it's experimental, even though they're not sure about all kinds of things, and they would be quite sure about antibodies and whether or not you have them, whether or not that means you can't get it again, but they don't care about that. Just don't even test for it. Just take the vaccine and do what you're told. Vaccination of persons with underlying medical conditions. mRNA COVID-19 vaccines may be administered to persons with underlying medical conditions who have no contradictions to vaccination. Persons with, so this says vaccines may be administered to persons with underlying medical conditions. I forget why I highlighted that. I think it has to do with these next two. Persons with HIV infection or other. I found that interesting. This is what I always find it revealing. All they had to say is people with immunocompromised conditions. Right? That's all they had to say. But they instead specifically said persons with HIV infections or other why would they make the point of specifically saying that one? Doesn't that seem odd in consideration with the weird false positives of COVID, of HIV and these vaccines they were already doing? Doesn't that seem interesting? But it says data are not currently available to establish vaccine safety and efficacy in these groups. Oh, good times. But sure, they're going to let you take it if you go into the store. Don't worry about that. And what if you didn't read this and you didn't know and did it anyway? Who cares? That's how they would feel. No data are currently available on the safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccines in persons with autoimmune conditions, though these persons were eligible for enrollment, right? So we had them in the trials, we allowed them to be in the trials, but we didn't care enough to make sure that it actually worked, and we don't know. But go ahead and take it anyway. But it says observational data demonstrate that while the absolute risk is low, here's the point, pregnant people with COVID-19 have an increased risk of severe illness, including illness resulting in intensive care admission, medical ventilation, or death. Good times. Additionally, they might be at an increased risk of adverse pregnancy outcomes, such as preterm birth. It says there are currently few data on the safety of COVID-19 vaccines, including mRNA vaccines in pregnant people. Experts believe that mRNA vaccines are unlikely to pose a risk to the pregnant person or fetus. Wait, so you just said that we don't know, we didn't test for it, and we're not sure, but it's unlikely to do the thing that we have no idea whether it will do. It's sickening. However, the potential risks of mRNA vaccines to the pregnant person and the fetus are unknown because these vaccines have not been studied in pregnant people. But you before that, you said, we don't think it'll cause the thing that we didn't test for and we don't even know. Why would you do that? I argue for this. Here's a doctor virtue signaling in a really gross way and saying, I'm proud to be pregnant and getting this vaccine. Despite you as a doctor, either not knowing this very obvious dangerous situation or just not caring, which I can't even fathom. I didn't plan on publicly sharing this. I don't buy that. This detail of my life, but I feel like it's important as healthcare workers support informed decision-making. Informed? Does anybody who's reading this know about the side effects of the fact they didn't test on pregnant people? Because you didn't mention that. Is that informed or is that virtue signaling and convincing people who are pregnant to do this very dangerous thing? As I saw a few days ago, I saw a post by a pregnant anesthesiologist, which we talked about, that was getting vilified for a decision. Yeah, because it's really wrong. I mean, guys, do you not realize this is the equivalent of taking anything else that you have no idea how it's going to react with your body or your baby? going out and taking some experimental drug and, you know, taking ecstasy or whatever. Like the point, and that's, I don't mean they're the same thing, but just, you know, some new drug on the market that you have no idea and going out and partying all night. Just because they tell you this is a medicine, it doesn't make it any different. It is not tested with you, with your baby and pregnant people. We don't know how this will respond. And yet that's okay because we're blindly trusting the authority. It says, people, I promise we did not take this decision lightly. We, as, probably your husband, as an emergency physician, myself and many other healthcare workers are exposed to COVID patients daily. We are either performing in our areas, in areas where aerosolized generating procedures are being done. So she's working as a pregnant woman with sick people. That sounds perfectly alarming. But it says, we care for many sick patients, often with high viral loads. As much as we try to protect ourselves, the reality of our professions is that we are constantly exposed. I don't see how anything has anything to do with the experimental risk you're taking. The faces that we have seen, the deaths that we have experienced weigh on us heavily. This is just propaganda to get people to believe that you were all in danger is what it sounds like. With respect to my pregnancy, yeah, look at that. The fifth tweet down, and that's all this was supposed to be about. I've generally been pretty conservative. I don't eat sushi, though. So she won't eat raw fish, but she's going to take an experimental injection that's not even tested with her body. Can you believe? That's incredible. Why? Because draw fish in pregnancy is one of those things that we're all supposed to know because that's what we're told in every magazine everywhere. This is a doctor we're talking about. I avoid most medications even when they are unlikely safe. What? I generally avoid things that would endanger my pregnancy. This pregnancy did not come along easily. And it's one of the most important things in my life. I agonized over the decision to vaccinate for weeks, knowing there are no fetal studies in pregnant women were and are generally excluded from the studies. Not generally. They don't know. That's not the case. And if you're going to avoid medications that are likely safe, why are you doing this? But I made the decision to do it for me personally when I weighed my personal risk. Okay, so here's the point. She decided it was more important to keep her safe herself that it was worth risking her child's safety. That's what this boils down to. And she says that. Oh, you're so commendable. You're so brave. Protecting yourself over your child because of your job that you're arguing is because COVID is so dangerous that that's more important. Do you see how these people have been brainwashed? Even the doctors, you know, just like the epidemic that wasn't, when they all swore there was a whooping cough epidemic. It went on for 8 months. The PCR test told them so. And it ended up not being a single case. The epidemic that wasn't. Just in case you want to read it when we're done, I've done numerous shows on this. PCR test that was used by Dartmouth told them there was a whooping cough epidemic because they thought there was, because they saw coughing. But it turned out not a single case of whooping cough was confirmed. Not a single case. It was the start of a bizarre episode. They called the story of the epidemic that wasn't. And they state in this article that the reason it happened was overdependence on tests like the PCR test. And here we are, living it again. But, you know, for her to happily test this on her child based on the assumption that we're all in danger because your authority tells you so is totally respectable and commendable today. Right? It's all about showing people how much you're doing for other people. I'm so good. Virtue signaling everywhere. How about as a doctor, you actually just inform yourself about the facts and then use those facts to make a decision? That seems like what a normal doctor would do, or rather what we're told doctors would do, not in what doctors do in this COVID world that we find ourselves. Just blows my mind. I'm really not trying to to attack this person. It's not even about her. The point is that she is a victim of the illusion. I don't want people to go attack this person. She believes this, and that's sad. And she's probably, hopefully not, but probably going to have an effect with her child, as it would seem. And that's horrifying. The point is we want to stop this from happening, not attack people for making bad decisions. The sad reality is it's going to continue, right? But here is just a quick reminder of why we should not be trusting the company that she is clearly trusting right now with her child. Pfizer, as I keep showing you, this is tracking their violations over the years. Safety-related offenses, you know, like not testing things properly. They've paid out over $104 million with 10 different incidences over the years, meaning they either lied, cheated, manipulated, and just didn't test for safety, but specifically false claims. So pretending things are safe, lying about things that are safe. $1 billion, 23 claims or report records. I mean, just glance, look at it. Health-related offenses, $3 billion. Government contracting offenses, lying to the government. Like with this, $1 billion. This is the company that we're trusting right now. The company that's working on your safety. And then they're working with people like Robert Kadlec and, you know, the HHS. Robert Kadlec, who was also in the past been caught pushing an anthrax vaccine that they also didn't test. We're also involved. I mean, these people have been involved with all these things, H1N1, all these illusions. They're continuing to lie to you. Over $4 billion, almost $5 billion in total penalties for lying, cheating, stealing, manipulating, whatever you want to call it, being dishonest. But, you know, go ahead, test it on your child. I also wanted to point out, as I tweeted on the fly the other day, CDC Dr. Redfield just given the green light to Moderna's COVID vaccine. I just said on the move, but you will see this populate mainstream media. I always told you this one was inevitable due to the NIH conflicts of interest alone. I just wanted to confirm for everybody that this was in fact the case. Here it is, at least on CNN. It's a lot of different places. CDC director accepts advisory committee's recommendation. So Dr. Redfield is giving the green light to Moderna, which is exactly what I told you. Do you think I'm psychic? I said this in the moment that this started, the moment that Moncef Salawi was appointed, Moderna will be at least one of the ones that we get used. And look, here we are. It's not because I knew anything. The point, it's right on its face, guys. There's conflicts of interest in the NIH. Moncef Salawi has conflicts of interest. There's a lot of people connected to them. Our government in general has a lot of connections to it. And then, of course, we find out that Moderna is, the whole company is tailored around making mRNA vaccines. Their name on the stock exchange is mRNA, for crying out loud. They've never brought a product to market. This is the first time they've ever succeeded in trying even this one. And somehow I knew they would make it. Well, how? Because that's the plan, guys. Just time for us to start waking up and realizing whether it's 9/11, COVID-19, any number, Gulf of Tonkin, the USS Liberty. We've been lied to repeatedly by our own government for very nefarious reasons. And it's just damn time that we realize it. Wake up. I also think it's interesting that we've seen this lead into the immunity passport discussion. And now as we see countless people openly saying it's going to happen, no joke, today I saw it get people responded to it as if it was the most absurd thing they've ever heard. Blue checks and their sycophants going, you're so stupid. I can't believe you're still talking about immunity passports. And here we are. it's these people are either like actually losing their minds or just don't care about the truth. Here's the high wire, Del Bigtree, saying, but don't worry, the shots won't be mandatory. But in France, quote, people who fail to get a COVID-19 vaccination could be banned from using public transport in France. Here's the article itself. Anti-vaxxers could face public transport ban in France. Yeah, because that's never going to happen, though, right? This is exactly the point. You will need to prove that you've had your vaccine to be able to do these things. It starts with the tests, and it's going to become the vaccine, which is right here on the CDC's website. V-Safe After Vaccination Health Checker. Make sure you get your app that will work with your health passport, and will you know, eventually work with your smartwatch or your smartphone, or then all of a sudden your Profusa injectable. This is all coming. It's already been discussed, and people act like it's crazy. Matt Hepburn on the COVID task force in Operation Warp Speed, excuse me, not task force, but the Operation Warp Speed, is open and adamant in leading the idea of the Profusa concept. Moncef Salawi is like obsessed with bio-injectable, like nano platforms and medicine. He's like, that's been his focal point since like 2015. I think even before that. But the point is, he's been working on this ever since. And suddenly he just jumps over and works on a vaccine for some new experimental thing. Does that make sense? Or does it make more sense to realize that he's continuing that agenda with something new? It'll be crazy fake news conspiracy theory right up until they're pumping it in your arm. And we're at a point now where that can't be laughed at, guys. DARPA's openly working on it. HHS is openly advocating it. Numerous people on Operation Warp Speed are actively talking about how that's the next step. This is where we are. But as long as you listen to the mainstream media and your blue checks on Twitter, you will continue to think you're crazy right up until it happens. VSafe is the smartphone aspect of the first step in this direction. It's all happening across the country and the world right now. Free to roam, COVID freedom passports allowing Brits testing negative to go to pubs, school, work with QR code now being developed, which it states right in the documentation that this is the first step before the vaccine comes out. This is a passport allowing you to go back to your life if you do what you're told. That's what this is. Based on numbers that aren't actually there. Vaccinated Israelis get a green passport allowing them to attend events. Yep, it's already happening. This isn't testing. This is vaccines. This is a literal vaccine passport already happening while we're being told we're crazy. Amid confusion, Ontario Health Minister reassures proof of vaccination will be coming. Ontario Health Minister Christine Elliott reaffirmed on Thursday that proof of vaccination for those getting the shots will be given, despite the ministry saying the opposite. So there's a little bit of discussion between them. Some people saying, no, we're not going to do that, probably because their people in the country are screaming that it's wildly unconstitutional. But it says after news talk, and not just having the notation, but requiring that to be able to go into businesses. But it says inquiring if recipients so far have been getting proof, as Elliott recently said they would, the Ministry of Health said the idea was still under consideration because the vaccine is not mandatory and that patient info is being recorded by hospitals ahead of their second dose 21 days later. So it's still under consideration because the vaccine was not mandatory. So seeming to imply that once it becomes mandatory, well, that's when this will come out. That's how I read that, but you read it for yourself. But speaking to reporters later, Elliott clarified that it is still happening, which again seems to lean into the idea that once it's mandatory, there you go. But it says, we're just finalizing the format it's going to take. Again, seems to sound exactly like that. This is something that we planned for all along. Make sure you understand what she just said. They've been planning to do this from the beginning. All along, they've been planning to create whatever you want to call that, an immunity passport, a digital passport, a vaccine card, none of which we currently have. Yes, we've got vaccine records, but not something that you're forced to carry with you and prove to people. It says, quote, they will receive something more substantive, as I said, because many people are going to need it for lots of reasons. That's what this is telling you guys. This is, you're going to need these things. It says, spark debate among civil liberty groups over whether companies or other organizations could demand proof of vaccination for certain services. That's what's happening. But it's all fake news, though. Don't forget. And that will be the next step. And to wrap us up here at the end, I just want to reiterate the point that we've been drilling in from the very beginning, arguably since pretty much anybody else was, maybe save for Ben Swan. I think he and I have been on this from the very beginning. But do mask mandates work? A new analysis suggests that they don't. Shocker. It says, this is specifically from Justin Hart. But you can read the information for yourself. And the point is not just about what he's pointing to. I've seen a lot of people reference this data. The point is that according to analysis by data expert Justin Hart, who has been following COVID-19 data for months, demonstrated on Sunday Twitter thread that states, this is the point, and I think I've already referenced this, states with mask mandates, in fact, had a greater number of COVID cases per 100,000 than states without them. Pretty clear, right? I'll show you the numbers in a second. I believe that was... It says, I'll read that in a second. This says, specifically, we looked at cases on days where mask mandates were in places versus where they were not. We calculated the cases per day adjusting for population and with mask mandate, 27 cases per day per 100,000. Places with no mask mandate, 17 cases. What do you know about that? And you can confirm this information for yourself. May 1st to December 15th, we looked at all 50 states with mask mandates, with and without. No mask mandate, 17, with mask mandate, 27. He says, that's right, with mandates in place, states say 10 more cases per 100,000 population. Here's the breakdown by state. Many states have had days with mandates, blue and without. Draw your own conclusions. Exactly. See, that's what an honest person says. Think for yourself. There's a lot of data here. Now, the point is that there's plenty of places that have been on open lockdowns or on serious lockdowns with forced mask mandates in and out. There's plenty of places like that right now. And they are, by and large, more severe than places without anything. Look at Sweden. Look at St. Petersburg. It's pretty incredible to me that we can see this so clearly. And of course, the point is not to take this one point and think that shows everything, but to combine this with everything we've been saying. from the very beginning. All the studies and the random controlled trials that all come to the same conclusion. There's no statistically significant reduction in transmission. Every one of the random controlled trials find that. Anytime you point to one of these new systemic reviews that go over those random controlled trials, all they're doing is changing the outcome of the findings. And those have been shown to be wildly false. The Lancet one was already dragged through the mud. They're knowingly misrepresenting this. As well as the fact of the different five different NIH National Library of Medicine studies, all random controlled trials that all come to the same conclusion, that they find a verifiable reduction in blood oxygen level in your body when you're wearing a mask. But sure, jam that thing on your three-year-old and see what happens. Or, you know, or yourself for that matter. Can't wait till you get horrible breath and cracked teeth and rash around your face and on and on and on. And, you know, potentially develop bacterial pneumonia. Exactly like almost all of these studies continue to show you. But most importantly, the one that I just love to show, as you know what's coming, but the one that is important because the vast majority of Americans are wearing a cloth mask. The only random controlled trial of cloth masks. This is an important finding. Moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. Further research is needed to inform the use. It says a precautionary measure they shouldn't be used. Right here, it very clearly says the rate of influenza-like illness, which applies to COVID-19, significantly higher in the cloth mask arm. Penetration, almost 97%. 44% with medical masks, but we don't want to talk about that, right? Because fake news. But this is from the NIH and National Library of Medicine, but no big deal. And in fact, specifically, it's from the British Medical Journal, but it's posted on the National Library of Medicine and National Institutes of Health. Okay. Very clearly shows you no other study has been done that I can find, a random controlled trial, that tells you that's not true. Yet here we are, where everyone's using these cloth masks and it's very clearly causing more problems than it's helping. And there are numerous doctors that are now saying they're seeing an increased rise in bacterial pneumonia, which, remember, is contagious, which even Dr. Fauci himself said was actually what was mostly happening in 1918. There's people that claim he said it was because of masks. I can't verify that. I have never seen him say that. But regardless, we know that that was misunderstood as something that they claimed was not whether it was still happening or not, that was a part of it. It could have been because of the mask. It could have been from a lot of things. But how can we not consider that today? Why? Because everything that's happening anywhere is COVID-19 right now. You got the sniffles, it's COVID-19. You have a headache, it's COVID-19. Anything. Oh, you die because you got a car accident? Well, it's probably COVID-19. That's everything that's happening. That's why there's no flu happening and no pneumonia and everything seems to be gone except COVID-19. We are being deceived. Time to wake up. I'll leave that for you guys to review for yourself. There's a lot of good information there, but I want to finish with, you know, your new normal. The world that's being built for you. It's important for us to leave this for, it's important for us to understand the absurdity that is actually happening. And this is not an illusion. I mean, this is a real company that is making an actual thing that just realize we've already seen things just as ridiculous as this. Those big pod helmets, the big bubbles they're supposed to be wrapped in, right? This is the world they're building for you. So the idea is that we are building a world that is just so concerned about any idea of any kind of viral concept that we will bubble ourselves away under the possibility, right? Who cares about the information that the numbers aren't there, that child has a 0% chance of dying according to the CDC from COVID-19 or even getting sick, by the way. Who cares about any of that? It's all about leaning into the fear. Right, just, you know, you got your nice little pocket glove there to touch your baby. Good times, right? Make sure you take note of the perfect little biohazard symbol. Yeah, good times, right? Because it's just a happy, loving family we're talking about here. The Air Master. Good times. Guys, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is one of the more ridiculous things that I've ever seen in this whole discussion. But we've seen things like this from the beginning. Now, you need to ask yourself whether or not that company would put the money and the time and the effort and the marketing into something like that if they thought this was going to go away in a couple months. I've been saying that from the very beginning. So let me pose the same question I've been saying from the beginning. If you knew right now that this would never end, if you knew this would go on forever, would you still be okay with what's happening? The whole concept that this will eventually go back to the normal that we had, even though it wasn't really normal, is the only reason most people are going along with this. There's a lot of a good portion of vocal kind of just sycophants out there that are like okay with anything the government tells them to do. Wear your mask. If you don't, you're, you know, the Karens out there screaming at everybody. But I argue that by and large, the vast majority of them are wearing a mask because they just don't want to be attacked by that person, because they don't want to get arrested or attacked or called out by the store clerk. So they just do it because they just want to go about their lives. But deep down, or even close to the surface, they agree with you. They know something's wrong. That's what we have to understand, that people see this. We all are aware of this. It's just time for us to do something about it. So if you know this is not going to end, are you still okay with what's happening right now? And if the answer is no, then it's time to do something about it. Thank you guys for being here today. Every time. Just empowered by the reality that there are so many people that are willing to stand up for what they believe in. All of you here, thank you for being here. Please share the information. Help others see it. Walk them through it. Plant the seed. Walk away, come back and water it, you know, keep it growing. But don't force things on people, because that's how they get red-faced and angry, and then they put a block up. The point is just to plant it. Oh, did you hear that thing about the mass study? Oh, and they start getting all upset. Oh, no, I just wanted to hear if you, you know, curious if you saw it. Come back a week later, water it just a little bit. Did you take a look at that study? You know, just gentle. The point is that it's on us as individuals who can see through it to help guide those that are lost. We were all there, all of us. No matter what we want to say today, how woke we are, I hate that word today, but we were all there. All of us were at that point where we were watching something, believing we knew the whole picture, when now we can look back and go, wow, that was like almost cartoonish, and I don't know how I didn't see through it. The point is that they're on our side. We just need to help them see it. Thank you for being here. I love you guys. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right to freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's non-essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced.
will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
It will be the start right now, too. Easy.
Stop! Help! Man, this shit ain't right, bro!
But what's happening now as unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says,
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
Just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen. Get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.